And welcome in to the first episode of this year's Building the Board. We are doing it through OnTap Sportsnet this year, right here, live on the Bears OnTap channel. Hope you guys are having a good night. In this first episode, you guys are going to meet the scouts. So we have all our scouts here in the studio. I was about to say in the building. That doesn't really make sense. but I'm sure they're in a building. But in studio here, for you guys to get to know, talk about the positions they're covering and a few players that they like. And so we're starting off with Tom Cavanaugh. Tom, how's your night going?
It's going well, man. Trying to cram in as much football as I can because draft season is upon us and there's just so many guys to watch, especially in this class.
And it's a constant crunch this time of year, right? Of like between feeling good and then being like having just constant paranoia that you haven't watched enough guys yet. But Tom, why don't you tell the people a little bit about your background, where they can find your work, anything you'd like them to know about you?
Yeah, so I've always been a pretty big football fan. I used to play, but I honestly don't think I became as big of a fan until I was done playing. I feel like I missed it, and it really made me like rekindle my love for the game. And then I really got into scouting just like in college, like as a hobby. I kind of just watched YouTube videos about it, and then I started doing it myself, and I was clueless. And the more I did it, the more I learned about it, and the better I got at it. So yeah, so I do my own podcast too. It's Bear-centric. It's not, it is scouting elements to it, but it's more Bear-centric, and it's called the Bears Blog Boys. I do it with my buddy Snyder. Yeah, you can find us. You can find it on my Twitter. I post it all the time. But yeah, that's basically my background.
Awesome. And howdy to our friend Skokes, dudes, as always, coming in here. Tom, do you have a favorite college football team that you pay a little closer attention to?
Oh. Absolutely. It might be a little. I think you lost me for a little bit, but my favorite college team is definitely the Mizzou Tigers, who are on the come up. They just made like a bowl game, one of the best bowl games, I should say, for them in a very long time, and they beat Ohio State. So everyone's coming back next year. They should be a strong they should have strong chances to make a 12-team playoff.
Dude, it is a wild ride watching that quarterback that you guys have. I loved it. I bet on Mizzou so much this year, and it was always just a blast. Even when I lost the bet, it was like I was hanging on every second.
Yeah, he has some Jameis-y qualities to him where it's like there's some amazing plays in there, and there's some disaster ones too.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about players a little bit. So as far as putting your Bears glasses on, who's a player that you have really enjoyed watching and think would be a great fit for the Bears?
So I've really only gotten to get into receivers, and there's so many in this class. So I had a hard time pivoting off them. Like there's so many guys I still need to watch. But with that being said, with the hiring of Shane Waldron and how much motion they use and kind of the player that they like to motion, I think Ladd McConkey is such a perfect Bears fit. Like he makes so much sense for that role. Someone you can get on the move. You can use vertically. He's a good route runner. He separates. He can make things happen after the catch. I just think with that versatile of a skill set, those are the guys you want to get on the move and make and put defenders in conflict. And, you know, Shane Waldron's going to be looking for guys like that because I think DJ Moore is going to fit more of like your X receiver, line him up on the outside like DK Metcalf. And they need kind of that complement. And I think there's very few better options than that than Ladd McConkey.
Plus, he's got arguably the best name in the draft class.
Oh, of course.
It's so memeable. It's great. Now, how about a player who might not be the best fit, but that you think has just been awesome to watch and have really gotten into their tape for?
Adonai Mitchell. I think, again, he probably fits more of that X role. I think he has versatility to where you could line him up at different spots, but I don't really think he's like a motion guy. Like, I don't think he's really like a Z move him around a bunch. I think he does his best work on the line of scrimmage against press coverage, has some of the most rare like movement wiggle off the line of scrimmage you will ever see for a guy who's 6'4", 200 pounds. Like he moves like Jerry Jeudy almost, but like at a way bigger size. So I think he makes sense for the Bears in some regards because they still need a wide receiver too, but maybe doesn't fit in as well as you would like a Ladd McConkey or like an Xavier Worthy.
And when you say like X and Y, can you expound on that a little? Like what do those actually mean to you?
So an X receiver is the guy you like line up on the line of scrimmage and rely on to win one-on-ones. Like that was like your go-to guy, like what DJ Moore was to the Bears offense this year. And obviously I'm not saying Adonai Mitchell has like wide receiver. I think he has wide receiver one talent. I don't think he's shown that on the field. Like the production hasn't been there to justify him being a wide receiver one. But in terms of that skill set, I think he's a guy you want to line up on the outside, put him on the line of scrimmage, let him deal with press coverage because he'll beat single coverage a lot. Like, I mean, at least he did on his tape.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Is there anything else you want to let anyone who might be listening, watching, know about where to find you, what you're looking forward to, anything along those lines, Tom?
Just follow my Twitter page at Tommy K NFL Draft or Tommy K _ NFL Draft, or better known as Goodbye Ben Johnson after the Bears retain Matt Eberflus. But other than that, you can find all my work on Twitter.
All right. Awesome. Thanks for coming on tonight. And people, you'll be hearing from Tom a few more times before the draft as he'll come on and we'll talk specific positions in the coming weeks. All right. Have a good night, Tom.
Thanks, Q.
All right, and next up, we're going to bring Nick DeMayo onto the show. Nick, how you doing tonight?
Hey, good. How you doing, Q? Good to see you again.
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself, you know, your football background, so be it, where to find your work, and anything else that you think is interesting.
So I have been a Bears fan since Jim Miller led a comeback against the Vikings in 2001. That's when
no wonder we see things the same way.
Yeah, so that's my first Bears memory. And I have just been a staunch supporter since then, through the good and bad, probably more bad than good. But I love following the team. I love reading everything they do. And this is actually my first time doing real in-depth scouting. I've been doing more, I guess you would call it hobby scouting. I try to keep up as draft season gets closer, but this is good. This is the first time I'm focusing on one position group, and that's defensive backs, which is something I'm looking forward to doing. I've been enjoying kind of grinding the film and going through it. I've been writing for On Tap Sports for the last year. It's opened up a lot of avenues of just meeting some really awesome people and getting my Bears opinions out there, you know, and letting people know who I am for better or worse.
Hey, man, I mean, you've been killing it on the article front. So well, if you haven't checked it out, ontapsportsnet.com, go look up Nick DeMayo's work. It's like he's writing Shakespeare about football. It's great. Now, do you have a favorite college football team, Nick, that you might pay a little more attention to?
Yeah, I went to Georgia Tech, so I follow them. They've kind of been on the up and up this year. They made the Gasparilla Bowl. They won that bowl game. I like their coach, former offensive lineman. My wife went to UGA, so if I want to watch good football, I tend to kind of flip that on the last couple of years. But yeah, I kind of stick within the ACC, SEC. I live in Atlanta, so I'm exposed to that a lot more. Georgia Tech, when I went there, that was the Calvin Johnson years, Demaryius Thomas, Josh Nesbitt, Chan Gailey was there. And then they kind of dipped off a little bit after Paul Johnson left, but I still keep up with them. So not a lot of great prospects to follow this year, but maybe down the road.
And our friend Scott from Iowa wants you to tell them all about Cooper DeJean.
Oh yeah, he's good. He's real good.
So let's see. One thing I wanted to say, I was telling Robert this earlier, when you and Robert both said, "Oh, we'll take DBs," I was like, "Thank God."
Yeah,
I don't know how to scout those guys, man. I can't look at them. They confuse me.
It's tough. It's a challenge because you're kind of having to put yourself in the defensive coordinator shoes and try to figure out what everyone's assignment is, especially in zone coverages and trying to figure out, you know, especially in like a, are they in a cover three? Are they in a, you know, are they splitting the field and they're running cover one on this side and then they're playing man on this side or cover two, you know, so it's a little challenging. What I found is helpful is taking some guys like Cooper DeJean or Kool-Aid McKinstry, looking at their tape, getting a good base level for guys that know how to do it really well. And then when you kind of scout some of the other guys, you sort of see, okay, this is kind of where they're struggling, because you have a baseline of like, okay, I know what it's supposed to look like. So here's kind of where, you know, this one might fall a little short in this area, because yeah, it's a little bit more of a guessing game with the defensive backs. And, you know, I just got Nehemia Pritchett with Auburn, and really good press man corner. One of the better ones I've scouted in this class. His zone instincts are a little, they need improvement. But at the same time, I'm watching it, and he had three defensive coordinators with Auburn. And I'm like, is this a matter of him having poor zone instincts, or is this a matter of him and his teammates constantly having to learn new defenses, figure out where they are, and just kind of not know, you know, what their assignment is? So it's taking that and trying to project it with it, with coaching. Can this be fixed? So,
right. And that's a huge thing in it, right? Like, of separating the situation from the player, and right, the personnel from the player, and the circumstances. Like, it's something that I really enjoy in the draft process. Yes. It's like you're putting a puzzle together, right? And you're trying right to find the answers of like, well, what can this guy be with the right coaching? And obviously it's all under the assumption that the guy's coachable, and the guy right is smart, and the guy, like, you can't really figure that out on tape per se. Mm-hmm. But what you can figure out is this guy's got the tools. He seems to have the goods, but everything just keeps going wrong for him. And that might be the right benefit if we get this right. Now on to some of the players. Who is your favorite player that you've seen for the Bears that you might, you know, just kind of have in your mind that you're interested in?
I guess I'll come at it with the caveat that the Bears have invested over the last couple of years a lot of precious draft capital in their defensive backfield. You've got Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker, Tyreek Stevenson. So I'm not sure if you're going to see a day one or even a day two defensive back. So I'm looking for guys maybe on day three, maybe undrafted for priority free agents. So one of the guys I really like is Trey Taylor from Air Force. He was a Jim Thorpe winner, big safety, rangy safety, good tackler, can play in the box. Won the Jim Thorpe Award. I really like him as he's a fifth-year senior. His coaches rave about his leadership. He's just a guy that I think Ryan Poles, he reminds me almost of a guy like Travis Bell, a guy that they just fell in love with the person, and then they drafted him, and Travis Bell went on to Atlanta. But I could see them prioritizing, maybe, you know, they don't have a seventh round pick. They could trade back, maybe get one. Or Trey Taylor is a guy that might not even get drafted. He's going to the Shrine Bowl, but I'm not sure if he could be a guy that doesn't even get drafted. And if so, he could be someone they target as a priority free agent. I just think with his makeup and his traits, he would be a guy that could come in immediately, play special teams, be Jaquan Brisker insurance, because Brisker seems to always be getting dinged up one way or another. I don't know if he ever had, I don't know if you can project him as a long-term starter per se. I don't know if he has that type of skill set, but I think he could be a DeAndre Houston Carson that sticks around for 8 or 9 years, a special teams ace, a guy that can come in a pinch and then, you know, put together a decent career and be really good value that you get at the back end of the draft, whether it's, like I said, in the seventh round or as a UDFA.
Okay. Interesting. That sounds like you put a lot of thought into that one of like, where could they find, like, where do they need depth and where are they going to, like, a guy who plays special teams, three UDFA. I like it though. I like the detail. Now, as far as one other player that I was going to ask you about, this guy maybe isn't such a good fit for the Bears for maybe positional need, maybe scheme wise, whatever it might be, but who's a guy that you just have really enjoyed watching play football that you want to talk about?
So he's a scheme fit. I would love him on the Bears. I just don't think it's Kool-Aid McKinstry. I could watch his tape all day. I think he is a perfect example of prospect fatigue. I think he is still a top level talent. For those watching, prospect fatigue is a person that a prospect that is almost unanimously considered the best in their class, but they've been considered that way so long that as the draft gets closer, they kind of get knocked down pegs, and then their flaws get a little magnified to where they probably get artificially deflated as a prospect. And I think that's kind of happening with Kool-Aid. I don't think he'd be a target for the Bears just because, like I said, they've put so much draft capital into their defensive backfield that it would almost, they just have positions of need elsewhere. But if they were to draft him, he is one of the most fluid athletes at cornerback. His zone coverage, his press man technique is just phenomenal. I mean, the flaws in his game are minimal, in my opinion. I mean, really, the flaws of his game are he can get a little aggressive at times, and at the top of like a comeback route, sometimes bigger receivers can bully him. But I mean, you're picking nits, in my opinion, when it comes to Kool-Aid. And he's a great example of you can just tell he's a Nick Saban coach defensive back. His technique is so sound. I mean, he's just in a long line of these guys that come out of Alabama that just look, you know, Terrion Arnold is another guy that I haven't had a chance to get too much into the tape, but I'm going to probably have the same opinion about him. I started with Kool-Aid because I wanted to see who I think, you know, for the longest time was considered the best. And I knew that he, because of his zone proficiencies, I knew that he would be someone that could fit in the Bears defense. And just the way he is the field general for that Alabama backfield constantly. There was a play, I can't remember who it was against. It was one of the coolest plays I ever saw. He, in the middle of the play, is directing the safety where to go while he's defending a wheel route, and he knocks the pass away. I mean, it's just, he's versatile. He can return punts. I mean, it's just, he's a guy that, you know, if the Bears hadn't invested 3 second round picks already and you know, maybe if they trade back from 9 and they can pick up, you know, cause I've seen him going anywhere from mid first round to even now later first round. If they don't feel confident about re-signing Jalen Johnson, you know, Kool-Aid would be great insurance. But again, I don't know. The fan base would probably roll their eyes with yet another defensive back getting added so highly in the draft. Yeah.
Is he even going to start?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, because that was in my write-up. I said, well, maybe you could have him. If you cut Eddie Jackson, maybe he has some free safety versatility. But really, I mean, you don't want to put – that would be such a you could find someone in the later mid rounds. That'd be a waste of his talent, I would think. So, you know, I would exactly. If is he even going to start? What do you, it's a sunk cost off the bat. So,
yeah. That's interesting though. I think I like your bringing up the concept of the prospect fatigue. I think that is very real sometimes. Yes. Like you see these guys who are, it's like, oh yeah, he's that good, but people stop watching him because of that, right. You know, and then it's like they don't come back, start watching him until like right before the draft. They're like, what was I thinking? This guy is good.
Yeah, happened to Andrew Luck. I mean, it was like I remember vividly going into the draft that there was, I mean, it may be for a couple of days, but it was like, I think RG3 might be better. And then, you know, it flipped pretty quickly, but it was, I mean, some of these guys that just, you know, they're considered, I don't want to say generational. I think that term gets thrown around too loosely, but you know, they're considered top of their class so early on in their careers that when it's time to get drafted, they kind of fall by the wayside because people are just tired of hearing about them.
Yeah. All right. Well, Nick, is there anything else you want to tell the audience here while we got you? If not, everyone, you'll be hearing from Nick in the upcoming episodes. Like I said, every week we'll be putting out positional episodes where we're talking through prospects at single positions per episode. But Nick, anything else you want to add?
No, just you can follow me on Twitter @sniper_1154. I'm uploading videos and kind of just feedback on the guys as I scout them, try to get people a little more knowledge about these prospects. I know the defensive backs, like you said, is kind of one of those like gray areas for people because it's one of those weird things to look at. So don't shoot the messenger. I'm doing the best I can, but you know, take it from me. It's not as easy, you know, as it may seem, but I'll do my best to get you guys some sort of clarity on these guys. And, you know, we'll see what the Bears do as it gets closer to draft season.
All right. That we will. Thanks for coming on, Nick.
Right, thank you guys.
All right. Next up, we will talk to Steve Letizia. Did I say that right? Steve Letizia?
You actually nailed it. Yeah. Not a lot of people get on the first try, so that's pretty good.
Awesome. Awesome. How are you doing tonight, Steve?
Doing pretty good. Trying to stay warm. Like Tom said, just watching as much tape as I can. You never can watch enough, though, especially with the Senior Bowl coming up next week. Like, I feel like I'm way behind, but
just wait till like the MAC schools start, the tape starts flooding in from them, and you're just like, oh, I didn't watch this guy or this guy or this guy. It'll be fun.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Steve, why don't you tell people a little bit about your background, where they can find your work, what you try to do with your work, and anything about yourself that you want to put out there?
Sure. Yeah. So I just, you know, going into my background, I just always loved football, you know, and I played, you know, when I was younger, but I like to joke that I was always a wide receiver at heart, but in a fullback's body. So football was never really my best sport. I played baseball throughout high school and everything. But I always just loved football. And then when I got to college, you know, I wasn't playing baseball or doing anything else anymore. I got really into, you know, the X's and O's and watching YouTube videos and just learning as much as I can. And I've always just loved the NFL draft. So, you know, I started with just, you know, watching, you know, highlights of guys. And then that evolved into watching full games of guys. And now it's evolved into watching all 22 of guys and just constantly learning and adjusting and everything like that. So, but yeah, I started Chicago Football Connection. You can follow me on Twitter at CFC Bears. Started that just to kind of be like a Bears. It started more as like a Bears blog. It's really kind of morphed into more like a YouTube channel. So we do have a YouTube channel, Chicago Football Connection on YouTube. Make sure to subscribe to that and just follow me on YouTube, on Twitter at CFC Bears. I try to put out a lot of draft content, a lot of just Bears content. I try to be funny. Sometimes I hit, sometimes I miss, but you know, you know,
it's
how it is.
It's all good content as far as I'm concerned, Steve. Yep. And speaking of the love for the draft, it's a sickness. It's really a sickness. Like you start, like you said, you start with the highlights and then you're like, man, how was I wrong about this guy? You need answers. And you fall down this rabbit hole. And before you know it, you're spending 18 hours a day watching all 22. It's rough.
Yep. And if you ask, I ask my fiance, we're planning a wedding right now, and she will tell you that I spend way too much time watching watching games on my computer, but she just doesn't understand. She doesn't understand. She'll learn.
I went through that about 2 years ago. Very similar similar response. But anyways, let's get to the football. Now, who is a player that you see as a great fit for the Bears and that you're really excited about the prospect of potentially adding to the team?
Yeah, so I've been focusing a lot on the trenches. I do want to thank Nick and Rob for taking the defensive backs because that takes a load off my mind. So I've been focused on the trenches. So a lot of guys that I like, you know, obviously the Bears have a need at center. Ask any Bears fan, they're going to say that's might be their number one need. So a lot of good guys I like, but one guy I'm going to be pounding the table for is Jackson Powers Johnson, the guy, center from Oregon. He's an underclassman, so he declared early, which surprised a lot of people, myself included. We thought he was kind of going to go back. But when you watch him, like if you do just watch, if you know, not everyone's crazy and watches the All-22. If you just go and watch his like highlights, you'll see a ton of pancakes, just crazy great blocks. But he's so much more than that, and you miss that just by watching the highlights. Like there are guys like a few years ago, I liked Mekhi Becton from Louisville. You know, kind of busted with the Jets. He hit a lot of pancakes on his tape, and it was really easy to fall in love with that. But you missed all the nuance in between. But with Jackson Power Johnson, he not only has all those pancakes, which are so much fun to watch, but he has all the nuance on the plays in between those pancakes. So good with his hands, light on his feet. Good size, everything really you want in a center prospect. He has that, and then he also on top of that has all those exciting pancake plays and really good combo blocks and everything like that. So he's a guy that I think is a perfect fit for the Bears. Now he seems to be rising a little bit. Dane Brugler had him in the first round of his mock, so before it was kind of looking like he was second, third round. If he gets in that first round, you know the Bears probably don't have an opportunity to draft him, but still, he would be my guy that I'd be pounding the table for. Maybe if they could pick up an early second round pick with a trade back or trading Justin Fields, whatever it is, he'd be the guy that I think they should target.
And will he be at the Senior Bowl next week?
He will be at the Senior Bowl. Yep. So yeah, he's definitely a guy we need to watch. A big
differentiator between first round or second round, I would imagine.
Yeah, it does seem like I think Brugler would got a little ahead of himself with the first round. I think he's probably going to, you know, centers for a center to be drafted in the first round, you got to have, you know, pretty much flawless tape. You know, we've seen some really good centers like Creed Humphrey go into the second round. And I think, you know, he'd probably be kind of in there. But yeah, like, I mean, if he does go to the Senior Bowl and show out, he is only 20 years old. He's one of the youngest players in the draft. It's actually his birthday today. He's 21 years old today. Oh, so I saw that on Twitter. So a little shout out to JBJ and his birthday. But yeah, if he goes to the Senior Bowl and shows out, like, he could potentially sneak in the first round, but probably a second round player.
So now I think I've watched three games of him, and like halfway into the second game, I got a bright idea that lasted for all of like 15 minutes. Cause I was like, I don't have time for this after 15 minutes of doing it. But I was like, I can throw together a 5 minute cut up of this dude just crushing inside zone and duo block combos. Like that's just like, and by crushing, I don't mean the pancake. I mean, like he is just flawless. It is so beautiful. Like if there's a really popular O-line, like run blocking seminar on YouTube from Jim Mouse McNally, where it's like he spends probably about an hour of it just talking about inside zone footwork. And it's like this JPJ could be the poster child for it. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, definitely.
So next up, favorite player that might not necessarily be a fit for whatever reason it might be for the Bears, but that you think is just someone that people should check out, should watch, should get to know as a football player.
Yeah, there's so many guys that came to my mind when you said to kind of think about this, but this guy I think that I'm going to bring up, I think is a fit, but I don't think the Bears would draft him. And that's a guy I'm very high on is J.C. Latham. Not a sleeper by any means. He's a guy a lot of people know of. I'm not saying that, but he's just a guy who's just going to be a really good football player in the NFL. Probably one of the strongest players that I've scouted going back a few years at least. Incredibly strong. He's listed like 360 pounds, but he moves and looks like he's 320. Like he's got long arms, his long arms, and he uses them really well. When he gets his hands on guys, like the rep's over, and like he's just so strong. Now, where the reason I say he's not technically really a fit, even though I do think he would fit in their offense, is I think the Bears, just knowing how they scout offensive linemen, they're going to be higher on Olufoshanu and higher on Joe Alt than J.C. Latham, in my opinion. So if they are going to take a tackle at nine, which I'm not sold on, but if they were to, I think it would be one of those guys, assuming that they're still there. So that's just why I think, you know, he's just a really good player. And so whoever drafts him is going to get a really good player for a long time. I just don't think it's going to be the Bears. And if I could just do one more, because I couldn't decide on who to go with here, is a guy who the Bears pretty much have no chance of drafting, but he was the most fun guy I've watched this draft cycle is Devondre Sweat, the Texas defense nose tackle. He's 360 pounds. He's a prototypical 3-4 nose tackle, which the Bears don't need. But he's just so fun and so strong and so disruptive. And he's a lot more athletic than he's given credit for. You see him. If you just look up his draft profile, you're going to say, "Oh, that's just a two down run stuffer." But I think he can be more than that. So I just wanted to give him a shout out. No, probably no chance the Bears draft him. I want to do a write up, but I know it's a waste of time because the Bears won't draft him. But yeah, he's just a really good player. I really like watching him.
Yeah, no, he's fun. The athleticism just shines sometimes with him too. And like you get Jordan Davis vibes on occasion from him, which is just impressive for anybody. And on J.C. Latham, I'm pretty sure he's going to be our building the board offensive tackle one, because you have him at OT1. The difference for me between him and Joe Alt is nothing. Like Alt is barely hanging above him in my grade. So because we're the two O-line guys, I'm pretty sure J.C. Latham is going to be the top offensive tackle on our board.
Yeah, and I do have him ranked pretty high. So I still have to, you know, finalize my ranking. So it's possible that, you know, comes down just a little bit just to get him one more. But yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with any of those top offensive tackles, really.
No.
Latham, Freshanu, Alt, they're all hell of a players. Like any one of those guys, no matter how you rank them this year, would be offensive tackle one net last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty without question. So it's just such a good and then there's probably, you know, three or four more guys we could talk about as well at the offensive tackle position this year. But it's such
we'll have an episode that is dedicated to it. So
we have to. yeah.
All right, Steve, anything else you want to let the audience know or remind them about? Make sure to follow him on Twitter at CFC Bears, Chicago Football Connection on YouTube. Anything you want to add, Steve?
Nope, that's it. Just follow on Twitter and we'll be tweeting out videos and scouting reports and everything.
All right, awesome. Thanks for jumping on, Steve. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Steve. See ya.
All right, and next up, we have our very own Ron Luce. Our audience is familiar with Ron already.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing tonight, Ron?
I'm good, Q. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, even if it's just for a few minutes, man. It's good to see you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, obviously, no introduction needed
here. Everybody's probably sick of my voice. I'll tell you what. I think a lot of Bears on Tap fans probably love this episode because they get to hear more of you, less of me, and more new voices. So I'm very supportive of only, you know, just being a small microcosm of this episode.
Well, I was actually about to say, why don't you give a little bit of your football background? Because I think you have one of the more interesting ones of anyone on this team.
Sure. So I did not play organized football until I got to high school. That was a sport I've loved. I was that freaking, I am right there with you, and you and Steve were talking about the NFL draft being a sickness. I was the kid that, like, growing up would fall asleep to, like, the NFL combine in February. Like, that's what I would do. NFL Network was constant on my television. I watched it from sunup to sundown. It's gotten to the point where it's a sickness where I can probably tell you where 90% of the NFL went to college because it's just, it's how my brain works. But played finally in high school. I wanted to be kind of like Steve, right? He was a wide receiver at heart, but in a fullback's body. I was a tight end at heart, but I was in an offensive lineman's body. I got stuck playing center. I played center 3 of the 4 years in high school, recruited as a center. I went and played NAIA college football over at St. Xavier University, which anybody in the Chicagoland area has probably at least heard of or is slightly familiar with. Played there for 4 years. I started as a center, but I played all 5 spots on the line. And I love the big hogs, but I'm kind of enjoying this draft process, Q, because it forces me to get a little outside of my comfort zone, which I'm enjoying.
Yeah, and what are the positions you're covering, Ron?
We're doing running backs and tight ends. And I'll tell you what, Q, we did a lot of work when I was in college and in high school with the running backs and the tight ends, right? Because the offensive line works so in unison with them because of the inline, because of the run game. So it's kind of cool to be able to take that step back and look at it from that standpoint of, I can tell if it's probably a bad block from the line and it might not be on the running back, or maybe the tight end is a good blocker. And that's something that some people might not have the same expertise and insight into. So running backs and tight ends, but it's kind of a fun group to watch film on, truthfully. So I'm getting really, really into the weeds here on these guys.
So last year I did tight ends for this project. And there's one thing I really learned about tight ends is everyone has a very different opinion of how good each tight end is at blocking.
100%. It's because it's different, right? I would almost make the argument, kind of going back to what Nick said a little bit earlier in the show. Spoiler alert, everybody, we've been hanging out in the green room. But I think Nick DeMato brought up a great point with DBs, right? There's so much of the wiggle room of, well, what's expected of that player. I think tight end is very much a position that way, because you go to a school like the University of Iowa, your tight ends are expected to block like their offensive linemen.
Right.
But you go to a different school based on the system they run, maybe based on the skill set of a certain player, their blocking might come when they're on the backside of a play and it can be subpar, or maybe they're expected to just give a chip block to help a tackle. So there is some, I think, gray area to it, Q. And I think that's something that you probably experienced last year doing that, is it really is a position that it will depend on the scheme and it will depend on the player as well. It's not just exclusively kind of black and white, like, oh, is that a good block or not? Because you don't know what the tight end's expected to do necessarily play to play.
Absolutely. So now these can be any position, but obviously you might know the running backs and tight ends a little better, but sure. Who's your favorite player for the Bears as of right now that you've watched?
I will keep it to a position I've watched, because I admittedly don't know much about this tight end and running back group outside of maybe 2 names. And I think that's part of the reason why this process is so fun, because it truly is a learning experience.
Yeah. I think it's almost better when you don't know that much going in, because you are coming in with a clean slate, no preconceived notions. You are just watching a guy play football that you know nothing about.
Exactly. And it's a beautiful thing. I love learning about these guys and being like, ooh, that was good, or ooh, that was not so good. But a guy that I really like, Q, and you know what? I've seen a lot of chatter about it in the world of Bears Twitter of, well, the Bears needed to hit on a running back, and it might be in free agency. It might be in the draft, all these different things, because they need somebody to compliment Roschon Johnson, right? And I think it was friend of here and part of this project, and you'll get to hear from in a little bit, and Mr. Robert Schmitz, talking about the running back position is probably going to evolve again and be used more, and you're going to need those quality backs. When you have a 6'2" running back like Braylon Allen, who can literally do everything that's asked of a running back, he is such a fascinating player, and I think he's a perfect fit for the Bears, Q, because I think about those Seattle teams, right? Especially now under a new OC, Waldron. I know that's something that hasn't probably been touched on too much so far in the show, but, you know, he loves guys that can – just look at the recent running backs, right, in Seattle. You got guys like Rashad Penny, who was a bigger back. You had guys like Kenneth Walker, who is – you know, he runs like he's a bigger back. They like those kind of guys, even going back to the guys like Chris Carson and even Marshawn Lynch, right? Like under Pete Carroll, the running back position in Seattle were big dudes that can do a little bit of everything. Braylon Allen's that guy. Doesn't catch a lot of passes because he played at Wisconsin. That's fine, but he had a career high in his final season here with 28 catches, had well over 100 receiving yards. But Q, I think what's so impressive is you saw a noticeable burst that I don't think he had in 2022 on a lot of his film in 2023. So that first step quickness getting better and improving year over year is exciting. But, and you'll appreciate this, Q, because you know I'm a sucker for guys that can block. He might be the best pass blocker at the running back position that I've seen in a while, because he has no issue. He gets in, he knows the fit. He knows how to take guys on. He knows how to contort his body if he knows he gets a little off balance. And he'll take a hit to get run over if it's for the better of his quarterback. I think he's, from what I've seen so far, and there's a lot more guys I'm going to dive in deeper on, but to me, Braylon Allen would be such a unique running back in Chicago. Almost gives me a little bit of Matt Forte vibes without the pass catching upside, right? Like, but yeah, a little bit of that complete back nature. He's freaking huge for a running back. And I think Chicago fans would fall in love with him because he's going to ground and pound and has no problem running between the tackles. Braylon Allen is that guy right now for me. It might change, but as of today, that's my guy right now for the Bears.
And it's probably worth noting, the Seahawks spent a second round pick on a running back each of the last 2 years.
There you go.
Maybe that's Pete Carroll. Maybe that's Shane Waldron. I'm sure we'll find out. Now, how about someone who might not be as much of a clear fit for the Bears, but that you just really think is an interesting prospect?
He's a guy that I can make a case for fitting, Q. I think the quote-unquote reason he's not a fit for the Bears is because I just don't think he's going to fall within the round of what the Bears are drafting for that need, right? Because you've talked about it. All of our great contributors here at Building the Board have talked about it as well. Of, you know, on whether it's personally or on here, etc., there's a really good chance it's going to be Caleb Williams at number one. You're probably going to go receiver at number nine, right? Mel Kiper says it's going to be Odunze. Other breaking things over here, you know, other guys are saying, you know, maybe it's Neighbors if he falls to nine. Brock Bowers would look so good in a Bears uniform, just so good. Like he's so good. And this guy has been around, like he, I think, is a guy that is suffering a little bit from prospect fatigue, right? Because he's been so hyped up in that Georgia offense for so many years, but he's so good. And it might have actually been you that had this stat of the amount that the Seahawks ran 12 personnel. They love the two tight end, one running back, you know, look on offense. Bowers on the opposite side of Cole Kmet would be disgusting for whoever's playing quarterback. I could give a damn at that point who it is, because you got two guys that are probably pretty close to complete tight ends that are not only weapons downfield, but are also going to help your run game. And I think that's just such a fascinating idea. But to me, like, even if the Bears do get another first round pick, it's probably later in the first round, unless they magically convince the Falcons to give up the 8th pick for Fields. It really is the only scenario I could see. he would look so good. I just don't think, even if they get that late first rounder from Fields, maybe from like the Steelers or somebody of that nature, I don't think he makes it that far because he's just such a good player. I mean, he would look great at number nine, but I think they go receiver at nine. So for that reason, he's my guy that like I'm going to sit and daydream about him in a Bears uniform, but he's probably not going to be in a Bears uniform when it's all said and done.
Okay, cool. And then you want to talk a little bit about Shane Waldron while we do a little Bears on tap?
A little impromptu Bears on tap?
We get to our, and anyone who is sticking around for the last two scouts, we have them coming up after this. But I think we can segue just a couple minutes here to Shane Waldron talk.
Let's do it.
So I don't know about you. I mean, I feel like the Bears got the best option that they could have possibly. Like from the day that they said Matt Eberflus is back, I feel like this was probably the best option that you could realistically have. I know, I think I said Brian Callahan, but he's head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals now. So that was never really an option.
Yeah, I was going to say Callahan getting a head coaching gig is certainly a big one. Q, I have to agree with you. I think Waldron was the best hire the Bears could make. And I know it's the running joke now, I feel like, and on the football front of everybody hates their offensive coordinator because it's entirely true. But I really do believe that based on just his experience, the diversity of his background, the obvious numbers that teams have put up with him as the offensive coordinator over the last 3 years up in Seattle. To me, there is so much to be said for that pedigree. And also, it's kind of refreshing that we don't have a Luke Getsy situation again of a guy that's never called plays before. I think having that experienced hire as an OC, especially coming in with a defensive head coach, with literally the guy said he's going to call the defense in 2024 again and still have a DC underneath him. I think to be able to have a guy that truly knows what he wants to do, worked with Jared Goff, and this was right out of your mouth off the X app. Again, people, if you aren't following Butka Stats, I don't know what you're doing. You know, we're all promoting where you can find us. Be sure to find this guy too. I keep forgetting you're backwards on my screen. But Waldron has had success with Geno Smith. He's had success with Russell Wilson. He was there when Jared Goff was with the Rams as a young quarterback. He's got this such diverse experience of journeymen, guys that were homegrown talent developed, working with the youngster, working with a veteran. He truly is the blank canvas that the Bears need, I think, at OC, where it doesn't matter if it's going to be Fields at quarterback, if it's going to be Caleb Williams, if they went completely balls off the walls and did like a Kirk Cousins and free agency type thing. I think Waldron's the one OC that when you looked around at the choices they had, that you could say he's going to be able to find a way to work with every single one of them and hopefully get the best out of them at the end of the day for the Bears.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think it cannot be understated. If you want a experienced play caller, where do you find experienced play callers? Cliff Kingsbury is an experienced play caller. Oh, no, we don't want him. Greg Olsen, experienced play caller. No, he stinks.
Yep.
But you get this guy, and the reacts are kind of like, meh, he's okay, which means he's probably good.
Yeah.
Right? That's probably what that means, because all the other options of experienced play callers out there, you want Jim Caldwell? I mentioned Jim Caldwell in our last episode as like, that's an experienced play caller.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not a sexy hire, but it's experienced.
The sexy hires that are experienced play callers don't come available.
No, they become head coaches.
Shane Waldron doesn't come available. The only reason Shane Waldron's available is because Pete Carroll decided he wanted to call it quits and retire. It's not because Seattle didn't want him anymore.
Yeah, retire. Even though he's apparently still looking at like other head coaching jobs now.
Interesting.
That's the rumor. I don't know how true that is, but
yeah, I hadn't heard about that. That's interesting. But anyways, so I'm pretty happy with it. I think it's about as good as you could have possibly hoped for, as long as you were bringing Eberflus back. It's the only way you're getting a better play caller, I think, was by getting rid of Eberflus.
100%. And I again, kind of as mentioned by Tom at the top of the show, right? It's goodbye Ben Johnson, because like you said, Q, the elite play callers become head coaches. They don't just become OCs again. It's not usually how this process works. You know, you got kind of a rare instance even with it with Kanellis going to Tampa Bay, but now he has one good year Baker Mayfield throws for 4,000 yards, and all of a sudden he's in consideration for head coaching positions now too. That's just how this league works, especially in the day and age when offense and high flying passing games and things like that are king right now. So I agree with you, Q. Like, this Waldron is such a rare example of a guy that's available for the Bears to go get him. Now, just the key is keep beefing up this offense. I mean, we've seen what happens when, you know, oh, they're bringing in Geno, they're gonna suck. Remember that narrative? I remember that narrative. I remember talking
number one pick.
Right. I remember sitting, a good friend of mine. So as people know it, that listen to Bears on Tap, that listen to you and IQ, we're both Cubs fans. You can hear me over at Cubs on Tap as well. Friend of the program over there, Miss Rachel over in the UK. She's a Seahawks fan. It's a weird story as to how she got there, but she's a big Seahawks fan. And I remember asking her before Geno's first season, I said, are you prepared for the Seahawks to suck? And this is like August of 2022. And she's like, yeah, you know, I'm hoping we can win like six games. She goes, I think we can surprise some people and be middle of the pack. But, you know, I'm keeping my thoughts low. And they made the playoffs because you had the Tyler Lockett's, you had the DK Metcalf's. This year they go out and get JSN to add to that fold. They had a really good offensive line because they drafted two stud tackles in Cross and Lucas.
You got to say, though, two rookie offensive tackles blocking for Geno Smith was not exactly a recipe for success.
And they still made the playoffs. Like, that's, I think that's what a lot of people are losing sight of with this hire Q. And I know there's been a lot of voices in, especially in like the radio. I'm not going to call out names, but people know what I'm referring to that just don't like this hire. And I don't get that. Like, yes, it's not a guy who's a new mind. It's not the Robinson hire from LA, a guy that you liked very much, truthfully, when we were discussing this just a few weeks ago on the show. But I think I can't agree with you more, Q. Like, I think all things considered, this was the best possible hire they could pull off for the circumstance. They nailed it. Now, just I hope they do a good job in not only free agency, but also in the draft. I think so. We're all so focused on the draft, right, at building the board. I think a lot of Bears fans are too. Like, there's still free agency, and the Bears still have a shit ton of cap space. They can improve this offense and even this defense through free agency as well. I just hope they give Waldron a Seattle-esque type talent pool, especially on the offensive side of the ball, and then say, do your thing, man. Because if whoever's at quarterback has the same level of success that Russ did before he got hurt with Waldron,
even as
Geno did, and even as Jared Goff did in those early days with the Rams, shit, you and I are going to have a real good time on Bears on Tap next year, Q. That's what that's going to mean. So I'm optimistic about it. I really am. I think, too, as the days go on and the more like numbers you look at, and the more just research you do and things like that, like, and the more even just thinking you do, I think as a fan, as an analyst, whatever you want to call us, I like the move more and more as time continues to pass with the announcement. And then today it became official as the Bears made it official. So he's locked in. He can't go nowhere now. And hopefully it transforms a Bears offense that's been quite anemic for quite some time now.
We hope.
All right.
Well, thank you for coming on, Ron. And we got to get to our final two scouts here. But is there anything you want to let the audience know before you head out?
I just look forward to a being a part of Bears on Tap throughout the offseason with you, sir. It's always a pleasure talking football with you. This is always a blast. But I highly encourage people, again, maybe you're not used to covering the draft process. Maybe you're one of those that likes to just show up on draft night with your friends and just watch and see what they react and come in informed this year. And what better place to do it than with the building the board guys? This is, I feel stupid being a part of this group. Like, I feel like I don't know ball. I don't sit here and be like, well, I know more ball than no. Like, this is and I mean this in the best humanly way possible, the most football nerdy group of people I've ever worked with. And I'm so excited for that. So just highly encouraging everybody, seriously, like, these articles are already going out over nontapsportsnet.com. We're going to have the breakdowns here pretty much position by position, as you noted, Q, with all the participants in this project. Tune in, be informed. So that way on draft night, when you're with your friends and your buddies and the Bears make a pick of a guy that you heard probably a lot about here on building the board, you can sound like the smart one in the room because you know what you're talking about. Because again, one of the greatest collection of football minds I've ever sat in a, in a stream yard with. So I'm excited to be a small part of it, man. I know I'm probably not going to do as many film breakdowns as a lot of you guys are, but still excited nonetheless. If people aren't following along with Building the Board, I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Awesome. Love to hear it. Love to hear it, Ron. And you have yourself a great night.
You too, Q. Always a pleasure, buddy. We'll talk soon.
All right. Talk to you later. And now we are going to go ahead to get to some of our pre-recorded scouts. We'll start out with Robert Schmitz here. Now we'll talk with one of our scouts, Robert Schmitz. How you doing tonight, Robert?
Man, I'm doing okay. I mean, it's so funny when we talk about something like this, right? Because I am going to be one of the DB scouts, among other things. But it's always wild to me how few people want to watch defensive backs, despite the fact that in a wide receiver league that we're starting to see unfurl before our eyes, you need quality defensive backs or you're not going to be able to shoot with anybody. And it's awesome seeing what the Bears are building right now. I don't know if they're actually going to take a defensive back within the first three rounds, but there's still some sweet ones.
Yeah, and I am thankful that you and Nick rose your hand early to take defensive back, because I don't trust my eval skills on defensive back. I know what I'm looking at other spots, but defensive back, I get a little confused on. But Robert, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about your background with football, where they can find your work, and maybe your favorite college football team in there.
Sure. Okay, so I've been writing about football since the 2018 Chicago Bears season. I mean, that's when a whole bunch of us got started, because there was excitement around the team and so much reason to write and podcast. And that's where I guess you'd say I'd cut my teeth. And I filled in as one of the all 22 people, I guess, on Twitter and Windy City Gridiron, but have since moved on to DeBear's blog and working with On Tap Sports and you guys, which is awesome. And it's been a journey. I mean, you get a little bit better every day. Sometimes you misrecognize a route and then Kurt Warner calls you out on Twitter. And it's a funny interaction all the same. But of course, you're sitting there. I'm sitting there going, oh, how did I miss this? Right. So I'm sure that I'm going to let some takes fly. I mean, I'm really working, Q, to not get twisted up with what other people have graded these guys, because that's so easy. Right. But right, part of what made our formula work last year was being true to the grades that we gave out. And I thought we put together a really good board last year. So I've been watching my Baylor Bears lose over the last year or two. So in terms of favorite college team, it's nothing crazy. But I've got a couple guys that I did want to talk about, if you don't mind, just in like what I'm seeing for the Bears and a couple guys that I could find as you go.
Yeah, go ahead and shoot for it.
Sure. Okay, so one of the positions that I think the Bears need desperate help at is safety. Look, I love Eddie Jackson. He's literally one of my favorite players on the Chicago Bears and has gotten all kinds of undue hate over the last 2 or 3 years, I'd say. But he's getting a little old. And when you lose a step in the NFL, sometimes that's the difference between the free safety being there to scoop up a 10-yard tackle, or like we saw against the Packers game, he's just one step behind and Bo Melton darts inside and turns it into a 25, 30-yard explosive. Free safety is a cruel, cruel position. If we got any hockey fans in the chat, I mean, free safety is a lot like goalie, where nobody gives you credit when things go well and everybody wants to blame you when things don't. But one player that I have found is an Auburn safety named Jalen Simpson. And oh my word, Q, has he got instincts. His tape reminds me a lot of Jair Brown from last year, Penn State DB. He attacks crossers beautifully. He sees the play developing before it happens. He's exactly the kind of player that I think the Bears need to put next to Jaquan Brisker. And hey, if the Bears don't want to cut Eddie Jackson, I'm not going to be upset about it, because he could easily be a DB leader in the room. But their second safety right now is still Elijah Hicks. I mean, we can do better than that, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
And then it's so funny when you watch DBs, because that means that I've been watching a ton of wide receivers and tight ends too. I mean, you have to get to know the weapons across from the DBs, or the context around the DBs doesn't make any sense. Kalen Carson, who's a corner out of Wake Forest, had a tough game, tough but really stern game against this guy who played for Florida State. Number four, right? So, oh yeah, it's Keon Coleman. And the moment that you're able to color those lines a little bit and say, okay, he's going up against a guy who I think is going to be in the NFL's first round, it helps you understand what you're watching. But Texas A&M receiver Aeneas Smith, he's a grinder. He's the kind of guy that you draft to be your wide receiver three, and then you hope that he turns into like a Khalil Shakir type in Buffalo, right? Always in the right place, always at the right time, and outstandingly physical in the way that he plays the game. And these Bears receivers, I mean, Q, if you saw the same Bears team I did, I think that they want to add bodies that can block. And so 5'10", 200-pound Smith is a great option that you might be able to get in the fourth or fifth round that could bring that along with him while still providing a boost. I mean, obviously, we hope it's not the only receiver in the draft.
Yeah. And I mean, you're right. I was writing up a report the other day for Roman Wilson out of Michigan, and it was like, man, I liked his tape, but I just wasn't sure there was a fit there for a Shanahan offense, because you look around the league and you see Juwan Jennings, you see Alan Lazard, you see these big blockers in the yes. slot there, and that's not really your typical slot receiver, though. So I think it's a really good point. Now, as far as outside of just Bears focus, who's a player that's really stood out to you but might not really be the best fit for the Bears, but you just think is a fun watch?
Might not be the best fit for the Bears, so I can't yeah. talk about unlucky number 13 at USC. I mean, obviously everybody's wrapped up in the quarterback tape, right? Like, yeah. in my opinion, when you crack Caleb Williams's tape open, you go, wow. But anyways, like you're saying, let's move off of that for a hot moment. I am worried that Ladd McConkley, despite the fact that he makes so much sense for the Bears, because he's a slot receiver that gets open at will, and he blocks like crazy. I mean, not to quote Moneyball here, Quentin, but Ladd McConkley's biggest fault is that he doesn't look good in his pads, right? You look at yeah. the guy and you think to yourself that he looks like a high school walk-on, right? But he's got great feet. The problem is, Q, I don't see how the Bears get a pick in the, let's call it like very late first, right around there where Troy Franklin could go, right around where Devontae Walker could go. Like, maybe the Bears trade down from 9 to like 30. But I doubt it, right? So yeah. he may just be a player that the Bears are going to miss simply because he won't be at any of the spots where they're going to want a receiver. And in fact, they may have already taken one earlier in the draft.
Yeah, I think that's a really strong point, too, of like something you didn't really think about that much until you start trying to – this is something I noticed last year – until you start really trying to build a board for yourself and you just go – man, this player just doesn't make – he makes all the sense in the world for the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't make sense because of where he ranks and where their picks are, and it's just going to cost too much capital that for them to go find a way to get that player. It just won't add up anymore, and I think that's a really good point.
There's one more guy, if you don't mind me talking about him, that I'm really curious to see what the Bears do. So I'm watching Utah last night, right? Watching Utah against Oregon, and you got Cole Bishop and you got Sione Vaki, both really solid safeties that both should get drafted. We can get into their grades later, right? But there's this running back, where's number zero, that they can't tackle, right? His name is Bucky Irving. And I mean, it's so fun, like you're talking about, Q. I know you've dealt with this before, where you're watching a completely different subset of players and you go, okay, who is this? And then you look it up, he's declared for the draft, and you go, oh, I'm really interested to see what the Bears do at running back. I think I've been watching too much Packers tape, because when I watch Aaron Jones take over football games, I think to myself, it's a too high world, and these teams that have an electric running back are eating in it. And so I wonder if the Bears would consider investing a little bit more juice so that they could get a juicy running back, because as much as I love Khalil Herbert, he's obviously coming off of an injury. He was a step slower from the moment he got back in a Chicago uniform. And with Roquan Smith being more of a hammer, you need that guy who's going to be your lightning to his thunder. And so I don't know what the Bears will do, but a third, like a late third, mid third round running back, if somehow the chips fell that way, I think it'd be a lot of fun, Q, because those positions, I mean, they can just make a much bigger impact than we've allowed within recent football discourse, because we're so focused on talking about why you shouldn't pay them that we're leaving off the table just how good a great one is.
Yeah, I think, and it goes hand in hand with the conversation of you should not pay them, of you need to replace them. right? I mean, it's two things, and you're not going to hit on every single one. So you need to be taking them every year at some aspect. And I think Bucky Irving's a great name to bring up, because the few mock drafts I've done, I'm sitting there in the third or fourth round staring at Bucky Irving, and I'm like,
he's right there.
It makes sense. All right. Well, thank you for coming on and talking with us, Robert. We'll see you back when we come to talk multiple positions. And is there anything you want to let people know before you head out?
Nothing specific. I mean, it's going to be a great draft season, everybody. I guess the only thing I'll say, Q, if you'd allow me to just be a little preachy, right, yeah, is don't let the Justin Fields conversation weigh down the fun of draft season. I mean, especially if the Bears take the number one overall pick all the way to draft day, this conversation is not going to end for a very long time. I mean, the only way that it would end any earlier would be if Justin Fields get traded before, say, the league new year or something like that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's just no guaranteeing that that's going to happen. There's a bunch of really fun football players, and the Bears have enough draft capital to find a lot of really helpful players and supercharge a team, whether they trade number one or not, if they hit on the right picks. And with Poles' draft record, I think that's a very fun thing to talk about. But don't, if you got to ask me, don't get so wrapped up in what's going to happen at quarterback that you miss a really fun draft season.
Absolutely. I agree with you there. Thanks for coming on, Robert. We'll talk to you later.
Anytime.
We'll have one of our flex scouts, Bruno Ogier, come on and tell you guys a little bit about himself. Bruno, how are you doing?
Good. What's up, Q? Yeah, you know, I'm a co-host here on College Football on Tap for the On Tap Sports Network. So me and another co-host, Chris White, we normally do it every Friday. And, you know, it kind of changes throughout the year. We kind of do two shows throughout the college football season each week. And then we do one here and there as we get more news and more things to kind of talk about. You know, it's kind of in a odd spot once the season ends. You get a little bit of a lot of transfer portal news, but most of that comes during the end of the season anyway. So most of that news has already come out when we do. And then once all the national signing days and everything like that, we kind of go into that on there. So we're still live. I believe we'll be live this Friday. So check out College Football on Tap. So yeah, looking at this draft this year, you know, I always look at offense. I'm an offensive guy. I love to see offensive football games. It's very rare that, even though I'm a Chicago Bears fan and we thrive on defense here.
Yeah, they don't exactly go together very well, do they?
Yeah, no.
Offense
no.
And the Bears.
So it'd be great to see the Bears end up getting some high-end draft prospects this year in terms of their offense. I think, you know, the defense could obviously use a little bit more help, get another edge rusher in there, really help solidify the defense in general. As long as they re-sign Jalen Johnson, I think that secondary is going to be very solid next season. You know, obviously the addition of Montez Sweat was huge for the Bears. It turned around the way that the whole entire season looked for them. So hopefully they do end up getting an edge rusher. But, you know, my main focus, I look at the offense. Guy that I'm really excited about this year for the Chicago Bears, possibly, as we don't know who we're going to go, what we're going to do at quarterback. It's the biggest debate there is. Like, are they going to go Caleb Williams? Are they going to trade down? Are they going to go after Marvin Harrison right. Jr. like most of the world wants? I mean, at least it seems like most Bears fans want Marvin Harrison Jr. over the Caleb Williams thing. But
the loudest ones do.
Yeah. So when I look at it, I feel like the Bears are going Caleb Williams. So for me, a prospect that I am very excited about that could potentially fall to the Bears at number 9 would be Rome Odunze from Washington, mm-hmm. the wide receiver. Reason why I am just very excited about him and seeing how his combine goes is the dude, besides the national championship game, which I'm not putting it on him, never has a dud game. He's always he could pretty much fill in anywhere. He does the slot. He's on the outside. I think he was in the slot 30% of the time this season, 70% on the outside. So he's flexible. He's able to move around. He's got the ability to go up and get the football and get any football at any time from any corner. there's a very good chance, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I really would not be surprised at 5 years down the line, we're looking at Roma Dunze being an elite wide receiver and ahead of Marvin Harrison when it comes out of this draft. I don't think that it's impossible at all to think that. And I know that, you know, he's probably number three, number four on a lot of people's boards in terms of wide receiver right now. Malik Nabers is probably number two on most people's boards. But I would put Roma Dunze number two on mine. I still think Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to end up being a better wide receiver, but I just don't think that it's impossible to look at Roma Dunze coming out as the elite wide receiver out of this class, which I know it's super deep class. I mean, there's a lot of guys that could come out and shock you. I mean, I said something earlier in the group about or earlier this week about Troy Franklin, how he's very interesting. There's a lot of things that he can't do because of his frame of his body. And if he hit the gym a little bit more, probably would make him a better prospect as well. But his speed and everything, his ability to just bust coverages, it's going to be interesting to watch him as well. But Roma Dunze for me, for the Chicago Bears. If we go Caleb Williams, that's what I want to happen at number nine.
I think that's kind of the dream for me, that, you know, if you get Caleb Williams, that Rome is there for you at nine. I'm really kind of praying on that one, that that works out. But it's interesting. You talked about, you know, how he ranks in comparison with, like, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers. And, like, man, I'll tell you, the more I watch these guys, the more I start to feel like, man, the margin between them is so thin, all three of them. And it's like, it's just, you know, flavor of the week. Who do you like more? And obviously, like you said, Marvin Harrison Jr. probably does stand a level above the other two. But, like, there are moments on tape that make you say, I don't know, do that? Does he? Like, I'm not completely sure.
And I mean, that's just something, like, I mean, normally not huge on watching Pac-12 football, even though this was the last year of it, but this year was the best year of Pac-12 football in, I mean, at least from my own remembrance, because I watched so much more of it this year, because it was just everything. They had all the quarterbacks, they had everything that you could possibly imagine in that conference.
I'll tell you this much, it's going to be the best year for the next, like, 20 years at least.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, unless they, like, change it over, like, I think the Mountain West could become the Pac-12, but
haven't stayed up to date at all, but I just thought that was a funny joke.
Yeah,
but do you have a favorite player that you've kind of seen who maybe isn't a fit for the Bears, but that you just really love the guy, like, you love watching the guy play football?
So I'm going to be very, very homerish on this. If you watch college football on tap, you know I'm a Notre Dame fan. I got a Notre Dame hoodie on right now. And he's a middle round guy, but running backs, they're not really loved anymore in terms of the NFL, in terms of where they're drafted even. Audric Estime from Notre Dame, though, I honestly, like, there's just something about him in the way that he plays football, the tenacity that he runs with, that I just enjoy, love. I love watching a lot of Notre Dame players, and I pick and choose my favorite guys, like, because I am a huge Notre Dame fan. But this guy just literally blew me away all season and everything he is capable of doing. He's 5'11". He's not the biggest guy, but he's the same height as Bijan Robinson with a little bit more weight than Bijan Robinson. The dude is built like a tank. He looks like Derrick Henry, just a few inches shorter. He has that. He looks like a guy who could really come out there and be a part of something. I'm not saying he's gonna be Bijan Robinson, but I think he's very capable and he's very underrated. Just from being able to look at the eye test every day, I think his combine is gonna be something to watch. I can't wait to watch him freaking lift weights. Even I just want to see this guy bench, because he is such a freaking tank. Like, I mean, if you have not seen how big Audric Estime is, just go look at a picture of him and see how big this freaking dude is, and you're just like, damn. And this guy's a running back. Like, he has the ability to run through people. He's not the best pass catcher, but if he is going to be able to get yards after his first hit every single time, I mean, he's going to be someone that may be a number one running back, obviously in a two court running back system like most of the NFL is nowadays, but I think he has the ability to be a number one running back in this league and have very, he could be Bijan Robinson. I saw a lot of comps to him, to Tyler Allgeier, and
yeah,
I don't know about that. I mean, I think he might be a little bit better than that. I'm hoping he's better than that, but that's the homer in me. So, but yeah, I mean, I sat here and I was looking, I'm like, man, who is my favorite guy in this draft? But when it comes down to it, when I'm looking at like the late second round, third round, fourth round, I mean, they have them all over the place wherever I've kind of like looked around, but wherever he goes, I'm going to be very excited to watch his career and see where it goes from there.
Yeah, I mean, even you said Allgeier, like, I don't know that there's many running backs you'd be that upset outside of, like, a first-round pick if you got the production Allgeier's put up,
yeah.
You know? I mean, that's kind of a compliment because he's been pretty good in Atlanta for them. How is Estime's speed? Actually, I haven't watched any of him yet. He's on my list, but...
I did see, like, that his last time that they, like, projected or did a 40 with him, it was, like, 4.4. So.
Oh, wow. Like, okay.
Yeah. So.
I mean, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, and that I honestly, when I was looking at that, I don't know when that was from. So I don't know if that was, I mean, he was only a 3-star recruit coming out of high school. So, I mean, he wasn't like, he was middle of the pack guy in terms of recruiting as well. But he ended up landing at Notre Dame and having a very successful career. And
yeah.
I mean, it was one of those things where you looked every week on your DraftKings or FanDuel or whatever you did, and you're like, two touchdowns, Audric Estime plus 220. Sure. Cause you were getting them at like minus 300 to score a touchdown every freaking game after the first two games of the year. So, I mean, I think I had like four first touchdown bets with him this year that I won just because that was what Notre Dame did. And I was like, all right, cool. Give me the plus 400 on that and I'll take it every time.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you for jumping on with us to talk a little bit, Bruno. Again, Bruno is one of our flex scouts. He is focusing some on wide receivers for us. And also just part of his job is just if someone can't make a show, someone can't do something, we're going to find a time with Bruno to make sure that he can, to make sure we're getting episodes out to you guys. So we appreciate it, Bruno. You have a good night.
Yeah. Thanks, Q. You have a good one too.
All right. Now that wraps up our show for tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you guys for watching, for sticking with us. Make sure to go over to ontapsportsnet.com. We have scouting reports being published daily, two per day lately. You can find them. We have strengths. We have weaknesses. We have background in each of these guys. Their recruiting profiles from high school are linked in most of them. We give you guys a pro comp for every player that we put out. And our goal is to have 100 to 150 of these out by the draft because in order to build a top 100 big board for the Chicago Bears, which is our goal, we need to have at least a little over 100 players scouted, probably around 150 scouted to really know that we got the 100 best players in there. So go check it out at ontapsportsnet.com. You can filter it by NFL draft category to get straight to the prospect profiles. And you could also find plenty of Bears content, opinion articles, news, whatever you're looking for. And it's not just Bears there, folks. We got Bulls. We got Blackhawks. We got Cubs. We got White Sox. We got Chicago Fire. We have a gambling section. We have a college football section. So there's all sorts of content you can find over there on tapsportsnet.com. You can subscribe to the YouTube. Make sure you get these episodes every week. We're looking to do two episodes per week to you guys, one position group per episode. And we will be coming to you live from the Senior Bowl next week. 3 days of practices. We'll be live after each practice, giving you our thoughts, our breakdowns, what we saw out there. Myself, Robert Schmitz, and Steve Letizia will be there on site in Mobile, Alabama for it. So thank you guys for watching again. Make sure to subscribe, like, comment. Let us know what you think. Let us know players that you think we might be forgetting about or not seeing. And remember, we are a part of the Bears on Tap podcast here, one of two Chicago Bears podcasts over at ontapsportsnet.com, along with the Bears Nation podcast. Thank you guys for watching, and bear down.